Hope you can hear me. Again, if you're passionate about planning weddings for others, this is the place for you. Confetti is a part of Weddings for a Living, which is a website that I created several years ago in response to some questions I had from students when I was teaching for the Wedding Planning Institute, and it's kind of evolved from there. So if you're new, if you're aspiring, even if you're experienced, I'm sure you'll find some information that's helpful on the weddingsforliving.com website. And of course, the live talk show currently, I try to air on the first Saturday of each month, and it's a really great opportunity to get some on-the-spot responses to questions you have or concerns or comments. And even if none of those apply to you, then we have a chat room where there are other people who are equally passionate, I believe, from what I can tell, and you can reach out to them, you know, connect. So as I mentioned, weddingsforliving.com is sort of like the home base for what goes on with regard to the live talk show. But if you're ready to move on with actually running a wedding business and you're stuck, I know we all get stuck. I created a resource for you, Wedding Business Guide. And the whole point of that resource is to help you. It's a step-by-step guide to get you from thinking, dreaming, hoping to actually doing. Because it's overwhelming when you're trying to do something new. Any business can be overwhelming to get started, and weddings are no exception. So please check out weddingbusinessguide.com. I'm actually in the process of changing some things around there. So, but you know, it's just good to look around and see. And really the premise is that it's a way to get you started part-time, because I know a lot of us are doing something else full-time, whether it's raising our families, another full-time job, taking care of someone else, whatever that gig is, it may be hindering you to move forward. So check out weddingbusinessguide.com. There are several people that are here today that I know are part of that. Check, you know, talk to others and find out if it's something that you should be, you know, something that's for you. It may not be. I don't believe it's overly expensive, but you know, that's my opinion when I see what's going on out there and see the other products. So I can only speak for what I do. I've tried some other things, so I can speak on other things too. You know, by the way, if I see something out there that I don't think is wonderful, you usually don't hear me talking about it. And the reason for that is I don't really care to spend a whole lot of energy spending time telling you about something that's not great. There are plenty of people out there who've tried things and can say it worked, it didn't. My goal is to help you move forward. So if you tell me that you've tried something and it didn't work, I'm going to take that and keep that in consideration. But what I want to do is find the really wonderful things out there, the gems that are out there, and share those things with you. That's my goal. A few book reviews that I've done on Weddings for a Living are books that I have read and enjoyed. If I read a book and it's like, I'm not even wasting my time. Now, if you ask me about a particular book and I've read it and it wasn't great, I'll mention something, but you won't see me showing up here saying this book was absolutely awful unless somebody has said, Debbie, what do you think? You know what I mean? So it's, you may think that's not really the right thing to do. That's what feels good to me. And that's how I want to share information with you. There's a lot of stuff out there that you can find and people talking about, oh, this was awful. And people do share bad experiences, but things that are great and absolutely awesome, I want to share those things with you. Okay. All right. Just taking a look at the chat room. Some folks are having problems. Again, if you're having problems with the video, please just call in. By the way, if you're based in the United States and you'd like to receive a text message when the show's about to begin, you can simply text the word confetti to 71441. That's for US and Canada. CONFETTI. If you create a text message and the number that you put in is 71441, the only message you need to send to that number is the word confetti. And then that'll get you on the list. So whenever there's a show coming up, you'll get a text message. Because I think I'm the only person that doesn't keep their text, their cell phone. Their cell phone within inches. I'm telling lies. Mine's this right here. One of them anyway. So text messages might work for you. All right. So let's get through this. Got a lot of things to get through. And let me see if I can squeeze it all into 1 hour. Let's start with a question that came in on the listener talkback line. So, you know, if you have a question, I love hearing your voice and it helps you to hear what someone else is going through. So this message came in from Tracy. I'm going to try to adjust the volume here because sometimes if it's too loud, It's all distorted. Let's see if you can hear this.
Hi, Debbie. This is Tracy in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm a new listener to your program. My question is for doing partial planning packages. My friend and I have been discussing that they tend to grow into a full service package. Do you have a suggestion for how to limit it so that we are not giving away the farm with a partial planning package? I hope that's brief enough, but yet to the point enough. I hope to listen live, so if you have any questions, I can jump on maybe and clarify if needed. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Great question. I hope you heard it. So Tracy is planning weddings, and she's doing, so you can have different levels of service for wedding planning, right? You can do full service, which is soup to nuts. You do everything, absolutely everything there is to do to help your client. Partial planning, as it suggests, is you're just taking a portion of it. And then there's day of, where you're kind of managing, your clients have planned most of the wedding and you're kind of coming in at the end. So Tracy's saying, you know, how do you make sure that you stick with what your clients have signed up for? Partial planning could sort of evolve into more. So the way I do this, and I've done a few partial planning, I don't even think I called it that. It just seemed to work out that they'd done some things, they needed my help with some things. There are different ways you can do it. You can charge by the hour. And the moment you start charging by the hour, you're not getting, there's no concerns about stretching the time out. And really that's the fairest way for us wedding planners is to charge by the hour. So the way you do it is someone says, you know, what they need help with. And then you kind of look through what those tasks are that they have said they need your help with. And you estimate how much time it's going to take. And hopefully you already know what your time is worth. So you may decide that I'm going to do round numbers because I don't want to embarrass myself. And even then I probably still will. So if you realize that your time is valued $20 an hour, that's nowhere near enough, but $20 US an hour, and someone comes to you and says what they need help with, well, then you then sit back, go back to your desk, your office, and you look through and say, okay, this is what they need my help with. This looks like it's going to be about 10 hours of my time. And then you say to them, you know, it looks like what you're asking me to do is going to take, you can give them your hourly rate and say it's $20 an hour if that's what you want to do. Or you can simply say, based on the scope of what you're asking me to do, that's $200, the $20 times the 10, right? Yeah. So that's, and then what you say, if you give it to them the second way by just giving them a bulk number saying $200 and say, this is the scope of this work. That's how much I'm going to charge you to do this amount, these things. If for some reason you need more help, then the rate is an additional $20 an hour for each hour that I spend. Or you can say, then we'll revisit it and have to do an addition and add to that. That's one way to do that. The other way is if you already have packages set up, and I know a lot of wedding planners like to do that, and your customers like this too, because they like to be able to look and see what they're getting and for how much. So the other way to do this is to say, you decide what you're going to do up front. So you can even package the way I just mentioned. You can say, you know, $200 and then sort of give a scenario of what that includes. Three vendor visits, this amount of consultations and things like that. So it's tricky. It's really tricky. But what it comes down to is you have to know for yourself what your time is worth. Is it $20 an hour? Is it $50 an hour? You don't need to share that hourly rate with your clients. You just need to know how to calculate it in your mind. And then you also have to be very specific about how you list what it is that you're going to do. No matter what level of service I provide, I always specify how much time I'm going to spend meeting with my clients one-on-one. I call them client consultations. And also I specify how many vendor visits I'm going to do. So if they say to me, you know, we need to find a DJ, we still need to get a cake, and we still aren't sure what limo company we need. So I'm thinking three vendors, they're probably, and if I sense that they want me to go on those vendor visits, okay, that's three vendor visits. I'm going to estimate about maybe 2 hours for each vendor visit. That's 6 hours right there. And then I'm also thinking, I know I've got to meet with them when they first sign on. I know I've got to meet with them as we're coming to the end of the wedding planning process, and we're probably going to need to meet somewhere in between. So I'm calculating those number of hours. So in my head, I'm beginning to add up. That's how much time I'm going to spend and multiply that times my hourly rate. I've come up with a figure. There's no science to this. You're going to begin to figure it out, and you're going to undercharge probably in the beginning, and then you'll have to tweak it. But you have to start that way by itemizing it, at least to yourself. I say at least to yourself because sometimes when you itemize everything for your clients, it becomes overwhelming. And then they want to say, well, you know, you said three, you know, you said it was 6 hours and actually we've only met with you for 4 hours. So what we, so it, it becomes tricky in that sense, but you have to do some of this planning up front. But for sure, you want to find out how many vendor visits you have to do and how many face-to-face meetings you have to do, and then specify that. If you can get that part figured out, all the rest you can begin to fill in, because there is going to be times, there are going to be times, where you're doing work at your desk or, you know, on your computer or away from your client, but you're still working on their wedding. Do you bill them for those hours or not? So it really varies. But the thing is, you have to be able to list out to them what it is you're going to do. But then you also have to be very clear and say, this is exactly what I'm going to do for you right here. And you list that out. Anything beyond that, we have to revisit. Or you can say, anything beyond that, my rate is X amount per hour. As soon as you start saying, as soon as you specify what your rate is per hour, your clients will respect your time, because they realize every time that you're doing, every hour that you're working is more money for them. But you also have to be fair and say, my rate is $20 an hour. I estimate this is going to take us about 10 hours. Or my rate is $20 an hour. I estimate this is going to take about 50 hours. So you're giving them a ballpark of where to begin with pricing. So Tracy, I know you said you might be on the live show. I don't know if you're here, and I don't have a call-in number for us today. I didn't set that up. Sorry. But I hope that helps. So it's tricky. And I have another question about pricing. And actually, why don't I bring that up now? Because it's a dilemma for a lot of us. I thought I had it here. I had my folder and everything. I thought I was still organized. Apparently not. Oh, here it is. Yeah. So I'm going to tie this in with another question from Danita. Danita says, I have a potential client with a 5-week out wedding date. Will meet with her Saturday. Sounds like that's today. So maybe too late for her. And then Danita goes on to say, she already states that she has a minimal budget. That's her potential client. And then she says, how do I proceed? And here's the magic question. Danita asks me, where can I cut corners or my duties to cover a smaller budget? I'll say that again. Danita, the wedding planner, is asking, where can I cut corners or my duties to cover a smaller budget? I'm curious as to how those of you in the chat room would respond to that. So tell me what advice you would have for Danita. It's not all about me. It's this pricing thing. So I know a few of you who are here, I recognize the names, have been planning weddings for a fee. So I'm going to come back to that. Okay. All right. While I'm waiting to see if there are any responses, then I'll know if I'm talking to myself. Nothing new. if you're listening to this show, I realize audio works for you, and I haven't said it for a while, but there is a way for you to try Amazon's Audible service. That's their audiobook department for free. You know, you can get to try a book out, download a book, listen to it for free. Listening to books are really great. I do this a lot. This is how I get a lot of my reading done. Whether you're commuting, I usually listen to books as I'm falling asleep. I usually don't get past 10 minutes because then I doze off. So it's a great way. Amazon's adding books all the time. So the way it works is you pay a monthly fee and you get to download a free audiobook of your choice. So as a listener, you can check out this. Not doing very well, my words today. You can listen to, try the service for free if you go to Confetti, I couldn't remember what it was. ConfettiTalkShow.com/audible. ConfettiTalkShow.com/audible. AUDIBLE. ConfettiTalkShow.com/audible. And you'll get to try out your free audiobook. Sign up, do some browsing. If you're like me, it'll take you forever to decide which book you want to listen to. Download a book. That credit is yours to keep. And then after 30 days, you have to decide if you want to continue by paying a monthly fee or just holding on to the book and not moving forward. But I found it to be very valuable. I actually had to pause mine for a while because I just kept racking up on these books and wasn't getting a chance to listen to them. So you can do that and then go back to it. But it really is a good way to get some reading done. All right. I'm going to go back to the chat. Isn't that crazy? I love how I interjected that while I'm waiting for some time. So Danita had asked, Danita's question was about, you know, a customer that has a limited budget. And Danita's asking how she can cut corners with regard to the price or her duties. So Diana says, okay, I got to go back. Oh, Washington Weddings and Events, good to see you. Replied, depends on where she is in building her company. Okay. Laurie Lockwood, I always have to say her first and last name. I wouldn't cut corners to affect the way my services are viewed. Okay, Laurie, very good. Helga's saying, do I have service for deaf planners? There's a planner that is deaf that wants to participate. Helga, I'm sorry I don't, because it's a talk show, so it's audio, it's live, and there's video. So that would require me to either have someone to sign or to have subtitles, closed captions, and as it's live, it's just not an option. So I'm sorry, I don't. Maybe the transcript later on, but as far as the live shows, I'm sorry, I don't have a response for that, but something to think about. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. Clarissa says, this is perfect advice. Some brides only request partial planning. Yeah, many do. And there's a way to manipulate. But there's a way to get around that. Diana says, I'm struggling with the same issue now for August wedding. Looking forward to hearing responses. Washington Wedding and Events goes on to say, if she's still, Danita says, rather new, give her more. You want overjoyed customers. And if you're not booked with another bride, over deliver. Okay. Clarissa saying, brides sometimes only want your assistance with one or two vendors. Yeah, that's right. Larissa says, I'm going to come back to Larissa's question. Larissa, that question you just asked me about marketing to men, if you could post that again a little later on, thank you. Laurie says, I think maybe work with her bridal party to assume responsibilities for some duties. Kalicia, I think that's the young lady from Detroit. I think so. She agrees with Laurie Lockwood, delegate services to the bridal party. Okay. So those are all great responses. Thank you. So Danita, you've got a lot to work with there. My first response when I heard this was, okay, you're saying the bride has a limited budget and she's a potential client, so you haven't signed on. You're meeting with her today. How do I proceed? Cut corners, cut duties. So what I found is when you're a newer planner, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm guessing Danita's newer, and I can only say that based on what I've experienced and what I hear from other folks. I'm guessing you're new. And the reason I say that is because you're going to meet with a client. The wedding's 5 weeks away. That's what you say. The client has told you it's a minimal budget. And you're thinking instinctively, how do I cut corners or reduce the price? So you have, I see a lot of us in the wedding process. And you said client, you didn't say friend. So I know this is a business arrangement. When you decide to take wedding planning to the point where you're charging others for your services, you have to do some homework before you actually make the move. You've made the decision, but you've got to do some homework. And what I find is a lot of us are eager and anxious when we have potential clients. We set up the dates and then we're thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to price? That's a problem. Any business that you're running, you've got to have a plan, whether it's a traditional business plan, or whether it's just some points on a list. And what I mean by that is a traditional business plan can be an intimidating thing, but there's a reason why the recommendation is to do so. You have to think this through. I want to plan weddings. You've got to make sure that there's a demand for wedding planners. You have to decide, what is it that I want from this? Is it just to kill some time? Because for some people, that's all it is. Is it to replace full-time income? Is it to be my only income? Because I don't even have any income right now. Is it to supplement what I already have going on? And depending on how you respond to those questions will determine how you set up your business and in turn set up your prices. And what I mean by that is, if I only want to make enough money planning weddings because I enjoy doing that to supplement a full-time job that I have so that I can pay my mortgage or my rent or my car note or my kids' education, that's very different from a wedding planner who says, this is all I want to do. This has to work. I need this money to survive. This is going to be my business. I need this to move forward. very different. And depending on how you respond to that determines how you answer this question. Because if someone's coming to you with a minimal budget, 5 weeks out, and you didn't specify what the budget is, Danita, and your role is to run, you're running a business, it's your livelihood, you have to decide, am I going to lower my services and my prices so that I can accommodate this person? Or is this just not worth my time? You have to be the judge of that, but you have to decide that before you start taking on clients. And I notice a lot of us are doing this. We're taking on clients and then trying to figure out the pricing net. You've got to do this first. You have to do this first. And this is why I think so many of us get into the business and then fizzle out, because we haven't looked at it as a business. We're still looking at this as wedding planners. And there's more to it. If you want to plan weddings for a living, for a fee, you have to decide, what is the bottom line for me? Me personally, when somebody calls me, contacts me, emails me, I need to find out the date to see if I'm available. And I need to find out the budget, because I know what my minimum fee is. And if their budget is very close to my fee, I can't help them. I really cannot help them. And you need to be in a position to decide what type of customers, what your budget is, what type of budget you can accept. And you'll know that once you figure out what your pricing strategy is. And you know what your pricing strategy is once you decide how much money you need to make each month. So, Danita, if you're brand new and you're at the point where you're saying, okay, I'm going to take a, sorry, my chair is squeaking. I'm going to step back so that I can get my reputation in line here, so I can get some really great customers, so I can get some testimonials, and I can get some photos. Then I'm going to take on some clients that are, the budget is way too low, but I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do that for maybe the next 4 or the next 3 clients, or maybe from now until the end of summer, I'm going to see how many clients I can book. You have to decide that. And you have to set that goal for yourself. And once you've passed that benchmark, then you decide, okay, I have 4 clients. I've done 4 weddings. There wasn't any money made, but I have these great testimonials. I have these great pictures. I have someone that I can recommend, like someone that my other clients can now check back with to see, you know, how effective, you know, how good is this wedding planner. Right? So those are the things that you have to decide. But if you are a wedding planner making money, you have to have a bottom line. And if your potential client's budget is very close to what you charge, there isn't anything you can do for them as a paid service. Now, if you have a blog or a talk show or a podcast or a web TV show, or you host live events, you can direct them there and say, listen, check this out. I'm hosting an event next week. Come by. You'll meet some great vendors. You may even find the vendors that you're looking for. And that's it. That's what you can do for them. But you've got to have that set up and ready to go. Each person that comes to you is not someone that you need to do business with if it doesn't fit with what your business is about. You get to decide. When you're running a business, it's a beautiful thing and it's a terrible thing. But the beautiful part is you get to decide who you're going to work with. But you also have to decide, do I want experience or do I want money right now? And if you're going to take a client for a reduced cost, you need to let them know that you're reducing your fee and why. They need to know that if you're charging $500 for them and your fee is normally $1,500, you need to let them know that. They need to understand that you're giving them a reduction in fee, but you're doing that because you're new. If you want to say you're new to wedding planning, or you're just new to the area and you want to get your business established, do that. Let them know that. But you need to make that call. You can't just decide everybody that comes along that you're going to figure out a way to break down their budget. You've got to be able to say, my minimum fee is $2,000, and be able to say that with confidence and not have to justify. Well, when they decide that there's a serious interest, then you can explain why it's $2,000. But if their budget is $1,500 and your minimum fee is $2,000, you have to tell them that. Your budget is $1,500. Well, based on what your budget is and based on what my fees are, I don't think there's a match. But here's what I can do. And then you decide what that is. Again, podcast, website, free tips, event. But you have to decide up front what it is you're going to do. You can't sort of just plow through it and figure it out as you go. Many things in life we do that with. With a business, you've got to step back and decide, how is this going to work? Are there people that need my services? And if they need my services, can they afford me? Because if they can't afford you, then there's a disconnect, right? So a very long-winded response there. Danita, I see, you guys are talking about some other things. Cost of wedding, which is a great resource to see what the average price is for weddings. But be careful with that data. It's average. You know better than anybody, if you're doing your research, what the real deal is. Remember, average is just taking highest, lowest, and seeing what's in the middle. It may not be a true reflection for your niche. It may not be a true reflection of your specific geographic area, because a lot of it'll put in the zip codes, but it's what's being reported. There's a lot of that. And I'm not trying to knock it. I'm just saying take that as a guideline, but you need to do your own research to see what the real deal is. Talk to vendors, talk to caterers. Okay, so don't be so quick to shut down and lower your services for everybody that comes along. There is a post, and I put it in my notes, and I didn't write it on here. If you search for the word budget on Weddings for a Living, I'm sure someone's going to do that now as I'm saying that. There is an article that I wrote that says you come up with something which is just your limited service. I called mine, I don't do it anymore, but I had it. I did it when I had the commercial space. I called it, I'm looking for my fan, the light's getting to me. It was a wedding workshop. That wasn't what I called it. I think your personal wedding workshop. That's what it was. Something along those lines. And really what it was just a very basic service where someone could come and sit down with me for 2 hours. We'd have to do a little bit of a pre-call. So I'd have to find out what it was they were trying to do, what they wanted for their wedding, where they were getting married or what they were looking for, if they wanted a, you know, if they had a theme in mind. And then I would take some time, do some research of vendors in the area, venues, some ideas. And we'd sit down for 2 hours, and anything they wanted to know, I would tell them. Anything they wanted to know. I think I said minimum two, I think it was like 2 or 3 hours you sit there. You tell them anything they want to know. But you personalize it for them, because you do a little bit of homework. You check with your vendors, see who's available, see where they can get a photo booth, or see where they can get, I don't know, an unusual vintage car if that's what they want. And you put all that information together. It's just, you know, what works out to usually be a few sheets. You give them a few tips. But they sit down with you for 2 to 3 hours and they get to pick your brain. And you don't hold back on anything because they're paying you. They pay you up front. You can charge $150. You can charge $200. So someone who cannot afford or for whatever reason chooses not to use you for full service, or maybe they're across the country and they've seen your listen to your podcast or read your blog. Do you see why it's important to have those things ready to go? And they say, oh my gosh, Debbie, I really want you to plan for us, but they're in Timbuktu and they really don't, you know, they're not flying me out there to help them plan. Well, we can do a 2 or 3 hour consultation, whether it's by Skype or Google Hangouts or however you choose to do it. But I got to do some homework first and present them with the ideas. Just the same way that you're listening to the show and we're just going back and forth. Same kind of scenario, but you're giving the person all of the information that they need to move forward. Then at the end, you can print out that document, email it to them, or, you know, print a PDF of personalized things that you've done. Basically, it's almost like you become a concierge of sorts. That might be a cool name to insert into the plan, the package. You know, personalized wedding concierge service. So you could do that. And then say, you know, these are all the things that I found out for you. So again, they pay you for that time. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. So you spend less time doing the research. You know where to go. You've built up a few resources. And that's kind of like your way of giving them personalized attention for a limited cost. Okay. So that's another way to kind of deal with budget brides. So I'll have to look up that article and give that to you. I hope that helps. I kind of went really long on that one. But the thing is, I realize there's a struggle with the pricing, but you have to do your homework before. And this is not a plug, but these are some of the things that we talk about on Wedding Business Guide, because pricing, I know, is tricky for a lot of us. And I've got to take a survey of Wedding Business Guide to say, you know, are you still struggling with pricing? Because I don't know if I've hammered it out. It can never be perfect. You'll learn, but the more you do, the easier it becomes, because you'll realize what the signs are. Like when we do day of, I know what questions to ask someone to see if they really need day of service. I know what to ask, because depending on the responses they give me, I'll say, okay, they don't want a day of planner. They need someone to do full service, or they need someone to do partial. The more you plan, you'll know what questions to ask, the qualifying questions. And you have to ask those questions up front before you take the time to sit down and meet with someone face to face. The date, are you available? The budget, Does it work for you and the location, of course? Because are you going to have to travel? Are you going to have to go back and forth? Is it close? Is it close to where you're located? Is the wedding reception and the wedding ceremony at the same place, or are they far apart and you're going to have to go on back and forth? Do you need more people? Those are the qualifying questions. And if you know, like, you're doing a full service wedding that weekend, well, maybe all bets off. You can't do anything else. But maybe if you're doing a day off on the Friday, you can do a day off on the Sunday if the budget works. So you've got to do some homework first. If you need help with your wedding business, you are going to have to invest some time and certainly some money to get the help that you need. If you want to go it alone, go it alone, but at least take the time to create some sort of a plan as to how you're going to get there. If you're just trying to fly by the seat of your pants, you're going to struggle. And when I check in with you next year, you're not going to be doing it. So you've got to know what your bottom line is so that when someone comes along, you can say, that budget isn't going to work. It's just like if you go to the store and you have $20 to spend and what you want is $40. You've got to decide, how am I going to do it? Am I going to apply for a charge? Am I going to, you know, ask somebody else for the money? Or am I going to have to try to find a cheaper solution? That's what it comes down to. Okay. Whoa, these lights are crazy in here. I'm really sweltering. I hope that answers your question, Danita. But I know what you're going through, but you do have to take some time to do some planning. Diana, just in time, says, so in Washington State, wedding planning is viewed as a novelty in some ways. The average 150-person wedding budget is between $20,000 and $30,000 U.S. You are being thrown in with all types of wedding planners. Some are full-time, some are stay-at-home planners, some do it on the side. We are all roped in the same category in the eyes of our potential client, leaving those consumers with pricing all over the place. So now I do a base price and add-on services. $1,500 is considered high here. So I love that. That's a great idea. And for day off, it works very well. I keep saying day off because once you get your feet wet with day off, you kind of get an idea of, you build your confidence because you're doing a lot more weddings usually. And then you can kind of start branching out into other areas. Once you master that area, it gives you the confidence to move on to other things. I'm telling you what I know to be true. So starting with a base price and then adding on makes it real easy. You know, if you ever go to Chipotle and you're kind of walking along the line and it's very clear what the services are, and then you move on and you move on, you can do the same thing with your wedding business. It's really good. But you also have to be in tune with what's going on in your area. So Diana's saying $1,500 is considered high. Wow. So it really depends on where you are. Okay. All right. Let's see what other questions we have. I have a lot of them. I'm taking too long to answer. I know. Sorry. Lisa McEwen, who I know sent me an email. Lisa, I will respond to you if you're listening. I know you had a pretty detailed question you needed my help with. Okay. Well, some of these comments that came in. Oh. I wanted to share, where's my fan? Someone who didn't plan for this, right? Because I'll have to keep, good God, the lights are on in here and I have the lights and it's really, the heat's beginning. A lot of the questions I can't get are coming in form of comments. So I'm going to have to make it a little more clear how to ask the questions. The thing is, when you ask a question using the comments and it's not related to the post, it's tricky for me to go back and find out what it is that you're really asking, you know, to tie it in with a specific topic. But anyhow, let's see. This is from Kelly. Kelly says, Debbie, thank you for all you do for fellow wedding industry professionals. You're most welcome. She goes on to say, I'm in the beginning stages of building my wedding planning business, and your site and advice has helped me come a long way. I have one question, though. What is the best way to make initial contact with other wedding planners and build a relationship with them? For some reason, I have this idea that they won't give me their time, knowing that I'm new to the group or might just see me as competition. How can I properly word my contact with them to make them see that I'm worthy? And not just their competition, but a friendly fellow planner. Thank you so much, Kelly. All right, good question, Kelly, and thanks for your feedback. Maybe it's just the animal instinct. You don't have to justify yourself to anyone as being worthy. If you know you're worthy, you are worthy, number one. So let's clear that up right off the bat. New wedding planners. It's tough. I think our instinct is to talk to other wedding planners. You know, I deal with other wedding planners, the same way I deal with other vendors. They're another vendor. they're another vendor. We're doing similar things, but they're another vendor. So you, a lot of times it's, you know, when I came to America, my dad, who stayed in England, said, Deb, when you go to America, you know, the thing you got to do is just act like you know, talk the talk. That's how they do it over there. And it's the honest to God's truth. If you come up with confidence and say you're a new wedding planner without being cocky or obnoxious about it, right? I'm a new wedding planner in the area. This is my specialty. Just wanted to reach out and say hi. That's it. That's it. That's the starting point. You can call them if you choose to. You can send out letters, but don't focus so much on wedding planners. I know that I don't believe them to be, you know, competition, especially if you have your niche. But the reality is a lot of wedding planners are not going to welcome you with open arms. We kind of just go, new kid on the block. Also, because a lot of wedding planners don't stick around. So it's sort of like, okay, let's see how long this one lasts. My suggestion is to join an organization. ABC, which is Association of Bridal Consultants, is a great organization to meet other wedding planners. Because when somebody has joined an association, they've put their hand up and said, I'm serious about what I'm, you know, I care enough about what I do that I'm going to invest in meeting others who, you know, other like-minded individuals. So by doing so, you're probably going to meet planners who are much more welcoming. That's a very good starting point. ISIS, International Special Event Society, is another organization like that. Because the fees that are involved are not for somebody who's just playing around. There's some a level of seriousness to what they're doing. So you have to not worry so much about wedding planners, but approach it. I mean, you've got the right attitude here, but definitely don't think that you need to prove yourselves to them. The other vendors will want to know that you're serious. Go out and spend time and meet with them and really make the meetings that you have with vendors about the vendors. It's not very much about you. It's about them and what you can learn about them. You have to do a little bit of kissing, but not to the point where you're not being real, but just you take the time to listen, really listen. Shut off the phone, you know, try not to be distracted, even if they are. You pay attention to them, see what the signals are, listen to how they speak about customers. Do they talk about weddings like they're passionate about it, or do they talk about brides and grooms like they're bane to their existence? Because a lot of vendors talk like that. I know you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, these brides around here and, you know, these weddings, they don't want to pay. People don't want to pay. They're just, are you getting that kind of vibe? Or what's the story? I really love weddings and this is what I want to do. And these are the clients I work with. Those are the kind of people you want to stick with. So in talking to the vendors, when you meet a great vendor, then what you say is after the meeting, whether it's in a letter form or, you know, when at the end of the actual face-to-face, say, you know, I really enjoyed meeting you. This is great. Who else should I speak to? Who else is, you know, really into weddings? Who knows their stuff about weddings? Clearly you do. I'd like to meet some others. Who else should I talk to? And do that each time you meet a great vendor. Ask them to send you off to someone else. And you keep building up with the vendors. Once the vendors realize you're serious and know what you're doing and you sort of get around, because it's a very small wedding industry community, usually locally, they'll start referring you to others. And once they start referring you to customers, and you sort of start getting your feet wet, wedding planners have no choice but to accept you and see what it is that you're doing. But remember, you don't have to prove yourself to them. Don't worry so much about it. And also from their point of view, understand a lot of wedding planners come and go. So that's usually some of the apprehension. And of course the competition thing, but you know, that's their issue. Don't you worry too much about that. Okay. So I hope that helps. Kelly. So, you know, go out there and you notice, you know, you said how do I properly word my contact? I don't know if I make my first contact an email. I get a lot of emails, of course, because of weddings for a living and such. But usually if it's someone I don't know, there's sort of like, I don't know. But if someone calls me, if I get the voicemail, hey, this is Debbie. I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm a you don't have to say new wedding planner. I like to say new wedding planner to the area. That's usually a better start. You can say, I specialize in, you know, I don't know, vintage weddings. Just wanted to say, hey, and this is my number. Give me a call back if you'd like to chat or just meet to sort of get the lay of the land. Again, if you're not getting a response, move on. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Other wedding vendors are out there who are dying to meet you. Okay, I hope that answers your question. All right, I can see you guys are asking a lot of questions and going back and forth. Well, some of these are pretty long. If you posted a question and I've missed it, I'm going to go through some of these the questions that were submitted earlier and ask you to post them again, because I want to make sure I address those. And I know we're, I don't want to rush like that because I got something pressing. I just don't like the idea of just having you sit here for a whole hour plus listening, you know, to me ramble on. Deborah Harris asked a question. which is very quick. And she said, what do you include in your welcome packet? I include my policies and procedures, a copy of the contract that has been signed, and usually a tips booklet if they haven't received that. So the welcome packet is what I give to clients when they've signed the contract and they're on board, and just to explain what's going on. And I'll sometimes include my favorite book. If I'm doing full service, day of, not so much, but it's the, you've heard me talk about this before, the Not Wedding Planner in a Box. I'll usually give them that. So that's usually what they get in the welcome packet. I promised to shoot a video this week about that. So hold me to that, Deborah. I hope that answers your question. Sylvia asked the question. I was wondering, what would you do if the venue or hotel already employs a wedding coordinator as part of the event? My wedding coordinator from the hotel only coordinated things on the day and only within the hotel. So do you think there would be hostility or trying to do each other's jobs? Would the wedding planner planning the entire event be subordinate to the hotel event coordinator? That's a good question, and it can be a little awkward sometimes. You know, you always have to view this as being the professional. And if the event is happening at the hotel, I kind of let them take the lead with regard to their property. They know their property, the site meaning, and they know how things want to be done. But I'll usually try to meet up with that person and say, okay, I don't want to step on your feet. Usually that's the way I go. I don't want to tread on your toes. I don't want to get us started on the wrong foot. And I know that I'm going to have clients who will want to get married here later on. So tell me what it is that you're doing. And tell me what it is so that I can figure out where I can fill in the spots for my client and just take it from there. If you approach it that way, then there's no hostility, instead of just assuming that there's going to be a problem. Because usually when we're thinking about doing something, it takes a lot more energy and angst than actually doing it. And that's usually my approach. Hi, I'm Debbie. I know you're the hotel coordinator and I know you know your thing, but the client has hired me and I want to make sure she gets her money's worth, but I don't want to get into conflict with you. So if you have a moment, I just want to take about 10 minutes of your time. You just tell me some of the things that you're working on or some of the things you need my help with, and then we can work that out. Now, hopefully if that person's reasonable, there should be no issue with that kind of conversation. If that person still is hostile, well, then, you know, you kind of have to play and fill it in and let your client know with regard to, you know, I approached the hotel and this is the kind of feedback. When I'm doing day of, I have my client sign a letter which lets each vendor know that Debbie is the wedding planner. She has our okay. You can talk to her one-on-one. A similar letter to that would be good to give the hotel coordinator. It basically says, you know, talk to her. She's fine. Is she anything, any questions, anything to do with budget or, you know, details, talk to her. She's fine. She has our okay. And both the couple, you know, the couple signs that letter and then it's given to that vendor. Give the hotel venue coordinator, whomever, that letter so that they know that your clients have the okay, and then take it from there. So, you know, but try to make it be the bigger person. Please don't assume that everything's going to be hostile or sometimes difficult. And sometimes it may, you know, maybe you've picked up on the vibe, but you have to be the bigger person and step up. I know it's an overused statement, but you have to step up and say, okay, you know, let's talk a little bit about this. Because I, you know, we're kind of doing the same things, but I know we got different roles and there's stuff that's going on outside of this hotel that I know I can help with. And I always add, and I know I want to send more of my brides and grooms to you. So I want to make this work because we're in it for the long term. And that's it. That's it. Diana, just in time, is saying, meet with them in person over lunch and share what you are working on and ask what they are doing. Yeah, perfect. Exactly. Don't worry about the typos, honey. It happens to all of us. Helga says, the hotel planner is a rep for the hotel to oversee the event. The bride's planner and the hotel planner should work together cohesively. They should meet and go over the details of the event to ensure its success. After all, it's the best interest of the client and the guests. Ditto. So, you know, again, we all know what the reality is. Don't be the wallflower. Step up and make that introduction. And for me, a lot of times it's that lighthearted kind of way that I go without trying to be disrespectful. I usually just say stuff like treading on toes or I don't want us to bump heads and just take it from there. I mean, it's not, I hate to say that, but it's not that serious. It really isn't. It's a wedding. The marriage is the really important part. Sorry, said it. So, yeah, don't be scared. A lot of times we think, and you know, my mom, I'll add this, is back in the UK. She had to go take care of some financial stuff. And, you know, she's very, very apprehensive. She wants me. I didn't go with her, clearly, because I'm here. And I told her what to do. I put it in writing, step, do this, do this, do this, do this. And I told her what to do. I spoke to her the other day on the phone. And, you know, I said, well, did you do what I told you to do? And she said, no. And she told me the reason she didn't do, you know, X, Y, Z is because she thought this and she thought that. She was just speculating as to what the outcome was going to be without even trying. And don't we all do that? We sit there and find all kinds of reasons as to why we don't want to do something that's unfamiliar to us. And a lot of times when you just step out on faith and just do it, it's like, oh, what the heck was I worried about? It's the same thing. And, you know, I told my mom, Ma, is, you know, just do what I tell you to do. Just give these folks a call and just say such and such and see what happens. That's all you can do. You can't act for them. You can only do what you can do, which is why you've got to make sure that you're coming correct, for lack of a better term, and then just see what the outcome is. But always give them the benefit of the doubt. Come from a place that it's going to work out smoothly. If you go in there with the attitude and you're defensive, like it's not going to be, well, I'm the wedding planner and I know how difficult it can be to work with hotel. No, don't say all that. Why do you have to say all that? Just, you know, just go in there open-minded and this is going to work. And, you know, because you can't help that. You know, if you've been in a situation where you've been a little sour and then the person comes back to you and they're all, you kind of think, oh, well, I'm kind of being icky. There's no reason for that. So that's my suggestion. Chantel, I hope I'm saying that right. I have found that potential clients are hesitant to tell us what their budget is in the initial consultation. We only ask that we can make sure we can stay within the client's budget's needs. What advice can you give to make the client feel comfortable in this area to discuss their wedding budget in the beginning planning process? I'm currently dealing with a client who refused to answer this question, and now she's had to postpone her wedding to a later date due to financial issues. What? Chantel, I know what you mean, kind of, sort of. It's all part of the pre-qualifying thing. What's your budget? It's either because they don't know or they just don't want to tell you or someone's shopping you. That's usually what I found. Another person just shopping you, not really planning a wedding, just trying to feel you out. They've got to answer those questions before you can meet with them. And if they don't want to answer those questions before you can meet with them, there's no meeting. It's as simple as that. If you have a client and you don't know what their budget is, I know it's a little late. There was a problem in the beginning. You've got to draw that information out of them. And if they're giving you blank stares when you ask them about a budget, then you've got to start saying, okay, all right, so, you know, you're saying you want 100 guests. So if we're doing, you know, oh God, I'm messing up on my math. If we're doing $100 per guest and it's $100, that's what? Is that 10,000 or is that 100,000? I can't do my math. I have to do round numbers. But you, I'm embarrassed to say I couldn't even. 100. That's, is that 10,000 or 100,000? That's 10,000, right? Yeah, 10,000. But you have to find that out with a calculator or your calculator app. But you've got to find that out. Listen, planning a wedding is a very personal thing. If your clients are not comfortable talking to you about certain things, we cannot move forward. It's like going to asking the plumber to come and give you an estimate to do something, and you don't have a budget in mind. That's a little different because he or she may come in and say, okay, it's going to cost $5,000 to do this. And in your head, you had 500 and he's just said 5,000. Disconnect, right? Who's wasting whose time? You're both wasting each other's time. So usually you've got to find out what your client's budget is. As soon as you let them know what your minimum fee is, they'll know if there's a fit. We don't have a budget yet, but, you know, we're still looking. Okay, just to give you an idea, my minimum package begins at $5,000. Okay. That once you've made that statement, it will become pretty clear if you fit in with their budget or not. So remember, before we're gung-ho to meet with clients or prospects who are not clients or people who haven't signed the contract yet, you've got to do some homework. You've got to ask those pre-qualifying questions. And if they're hesitant to tell you that, no dice. Okay, well, you know, this is, I have a fee and I don't want to make sure, I don't want my fee to absorb your entire budget. So, I need to get a ballpark here. What's going on? What have you spent? Have you booked a venue? Do you have a caterer? If they have the caterer, you'll know what the budget is, because whatever the catering fee is, it's usually double that and then you've got the wedding. But they've got to tell you. If they're hesitant to tell you, how can you move forward? Someone's wasting someone's time. And if it's my time you're wasting, I'm not going there. these are the things that I was talking about earlier, these boundaries, these standards that you've got to set up for yourself in the beginning and decide my fee is X amount, or weddings that are below $10,000, I cannot work on those. I cannot. If they're under $10,000, they can come and sit with me for 2 hours, but I can't do anything more, or I can show up on the day if the wedding's been planned well. That's it. That's it. That's it. Every person that comes through that door is not for you. But you have to decide that up front. We keep getting stuck into the situation of clients coming in and we want to break down the fee to accept them. You know what's going to happen when you do that? They're going to nickel and dime you to the end and still complain at the end that you were a terrible planner. Ask me how I know that. Don't do it. Don't do that to yourself. You've got to invest in some time to figure out. And if you don't know, what I'm saying to you is you know, Dutch, unless you happen to speak Dutch, which I'm not speaking. But if what I'm saying to you isn't making sense, invest in some resources to help you get there. If you don't have the funds right now to invest in a resource to help you get there, go make an appointment with the SBA, the Small Business Administration. Someone there's going to help you, or with SCORE. What is it? Something Core of Retired Executives. Go make one of those appointments and sit down and talk to someone there. They're going to give it to you straight. They may not know about weddings, but they'll know about running a business. You got to do it. If you're not ready to do that, listen, if you're not ready to invest in the business, if you're not ready to go through pricing, you're not ready to plan weddings for a fee. You're not. What I would suggest doing is get into the habit of planning some other events gratis or for next to nothing. Get the experience, build up the portfolio, see if it's something you really like doing. If you really like giving up your weekends and some evenings on a regular basis, I don't like doing that anymore, but see if you want to do that. And then decide, okay, you know what? I'll give it 6 months. I'll maybe post, you know, talk to people, talk to vendors and say, if they've got any clients that are on the lower end of the budget, send them to me because I want to get some experience. You'll be meeting vendors and you'll be getting some hands-on experience and see how you handle those things. And then decide, okay, I want to move forward. Then go talk to someone or invest in a resource to help you get there. But you can't, in good conscience, go out there, print business cards, get a website up, and still don't know what your pricing thing is. That's crazy. That's crazy. How can you run a business that way? You can't. And you may not want to hear me say that, but that's the truth. So if you have a client, my love, and your client hasn't shared their budget with you, something is wrong there. Something is going wrong with how you're going through the wedding planning process. I have a chart up there that shows the steps that I go through. You do this, then you do this, then call me anal. After each step, I know what the next step should be. And if there's a roadblock in one of those steps, then we stop right there. We stop right there. There's no moving forward. When you have this system in place and know I got to do this, then I got to do this, then I got to do this, then I got to do this. Okay, they're going to call me. These are the questions I'm going to ask. Based on the responses to that question, then we're going to do a schedule a meeting. We're going to schedule the meeting. I'm going to have the meeting. I'm going to find out these questions for them at this meeting. And then I'm going to offer them one of my packages. Either they're going to say, yes, they're ready to go, or no, they're not. If they say, no, they're not, then I'm going to schedule a time for them to call me and tell me if they want to move forward. If after that deadline, they haven't called me, I'll send another thank you note and that's it. If they call me, great. Then I'm going to give them the contract. They're going to sign that. Once they sign the contract, then I'm going to schedule our first meeting. In between the first meeting and that signing of the contract, I'm going to send them a welcome packet. After the first meeting, I'm going to find out, have them fill out this bridal intake form so I'll know where they are, what they're doing, who's who, where do they live, addresses, emails, what their budget is, what they want, which vendors that we need to set up, which vendor appointments we have to go on. I'm going to go research those, see if those vendors are available, see what the dates are, if it matches up with their style. Once that's done, then I'm going to email my clients and say, I found two people in this category. Which one of these, did this sound like something you'd want to do? Okay, great. I'm going to schedule the vendor appointment. When can we go? This is when the vendor's available. This is when I'm available to go with you. We go on that meeting. When we go on the meeting, we come back and say, did you enjoy that meeting? What do you think? Is that a match? Great. Okay. Do you see how that is? I'm not saying that to show off. I'm just saying it's just systematic. That's how I go through a wedding. It took a few years for me to figure that out. But once I have that system in place, I know. And if there's a kink somewhere there, then we stop. If I'm sending emails and they're not responding, then I'm going to stop. I can't help you with this wedding if you're not helping me, Mr. Bride, Mrs. Groom. Ms. Bride, Mr. Groom. I guess it could be the other way. I can't do anything. What's going on? I'm not hearing from you. Do we need to stop? Are you no longer interested in me helping you? I mean, it sounds harsh the way I'm saying it. It doesn't go down that way. I'm not saying it that way. But that's it. Okay. All right. That doesn't. Okay, good. You didn't hear from me. All right, good. Is it easier if I text you? If I text you, will that help? Okay, great. All right. They know when to call me. They know when not to call me. We're moving forward. That's how it has to go. Does every wedding run smoothly? Absolutely not. But is there a system in place? Yes. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. And once you have that system, it's sort of like the same way you get up each morning. You get up, you brush your teeth, you know, you shower, you change your clothes, you get your lunch together, you head out, you either jump in the car or head down to the train station or get on the bus, you get to work, you punch in or whatever. You go through that system. It's no different in doing this wedding business thing. You've got to come up with this system. And then guess what? Once you've got the system mastered, then you bring other people in. You show them the system. And they're doing what you've done. And then you start marketing your business. Because you can go out there and start telling the world that you have a business, but you've got people on board to help you with these weddings. Because you've shown them this system. You don't have to show them the whole system. Maybe you show them the portion where they're doing the planning part. They don't have to worry about the contract. Maybe you do the first part of the planning. And then when the contract is signed and the welcome package goes on, then you take you do the first part. Once the contract is signed, then they take over. And then coming down to the end, you swoop in again. You get to decide all of that. There has to be a system. There has to be. Because when something goes wrong, you'll know instinctively. Uh-oh, problem. It's the same way you can work this, you know, electronically on paper, but there has to be a foundation there. You know, and I don't mean to sound like a bore, but I think that's where a lot of us wedding planners are going wrong. And again, if you don't have the system, you've got to find the resources to help you create one. If you have a business, you're going to have to invest some money to make the money. If you've got weddings on lock, you know how to plan weddings, great. Now you got to figure out the business end. Or if you've got the business end figured out, now you got to figure out the wedding thing. Two come together, you got a system to run a business that's going to potentially make you money. How much? Up to you again. Are we doing part-time? Are we doing full-time? How much money do we need to make each year, each month? Okay. Chantel goes on to say she signed the contract, paid her initial deposit, but never had time to meet up afterwards. Red flag. After telling her that her wedding was on hold until she pays on her wedding, which was 5 weeks out, she postponed her wedding. Yeah. And I'm guessing I'm going to take a guess to say, Chantel, you're a woman by all accounts. I'm looking at your picture there, right? You probably had a gut instinct somewhere before that something wasn't going right. For me, you don't want to talk about budget. That's a red flag for me right there. Something's not right. I don't know why we women, it's usually us women that do that. We get the feeling and we ignore it and we keep going. I don't know why we do that. Do it all the time. Almost always comes back to bite me in my flat butt. It's crazy. So you've got to, you know, come up with these systems to know what those red flags are. And really, a lot of it just comes down to repetition and doing it over and over again. You'll get stung a few times. Not too many. The more you do it, the more you learn. You have to stumble before you move forward. That's the only way to learn. If you're a mother, you know what I'm talking about. You can tell your kids anything you want. They're going to have to get stung first before they kind of say, oh, that's what she was talking about. That's what you got to do. Okay. I don't have the magic pill, but I hope that somehow answers that question for you. But you've got to get, there are some questions you've got to qualify your clients for. You know how it is. You call some place that you're excited about. You want to either do business with them or buy what they've got. And then there's not a match. Either the style or the budget or the timing doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Don't you move on and find something else? They're going to get married regardless. It's either going to be you helping them or someone else they're going to do it themselves. But it's unfortunate. But I'm glad, you know, you got to back out of that situation. It seems like it. I hope there wasn't too much time and money spent on that. But you've got to start reading those red flags. And the policy and procedure form is something that I created to make clients understand this is how it's going to work. The contract says this is what you've paid me to do, but this policies and procedures, this right here, this is how I roll. This is how I do what I do. This is when you can call. If there's something wrong, you got to tell me. If I don't hear from you after the second or third communication, I'm just going to stop what I'm doing and assume that, you know, something's up here. You've got to talk to me. We've got to keep the lines of communication open. If there's a long planning period, like you've got 12 months out to the wedding and I'm not doing anything, they're still going to hear from me. Hey, Debbie, just checking in, seeing how things are going. Have you found the dress yet? You know, is everything good? Just, you know, no reason other than that. Just wanted to say hello. Front, you know, just want to be front and center, top of mind. And you kind of do the same thing. Diana is asking, do I have them sign this communication process? The process that I was talking about, the steps I was talking about, I don't know if you're talking about that. No, that's just something I know has to be done. I have them sign the policies and procedures thing. It's just a policies and procedures, usually a one pager, sometimes two, which explains, you know, what, you know, the times, how to reach me, that I'm not going to discuss their wedding with anyone unless it relates to another vendor or something. And they're free to say whatever the heck they want to say to anyone about their wedding. I ain't saying nothing unless it needs to be said. I'm not here talking and sharing. I need their permission. I'll get their permission before I post anything on a blog or anything like that. That's what I put in there. But the policies and procedures is just so that we are clear on the working relationship. We've figured out that the price and the style matches, but this is the working relationship so we can make sure it kind of solidifies. Yes. This is how I get it. I understand how she works now. Because you don't want someone emailing you or calling you at 10 p.m. and you're upset. Or maybe Sundays is your day of worship and you don't do Sundays for calls. They need to know that. You don't want to embarrass them by having them call you and say, well, I don't take calls on Sunday. Well, why didn't you tell me that? That's what the policies and procedures is all about. But the communication thing is sort of like a behind-the-scenes chart for me to know what it is that I'm doing. Okay. All right, there were some questions. We had a lot more questions, and gosh, it's past 11. I'm going to put them on hold. So please, if you posted a question before and I missed it, can you post it now? And I'll try to get those answered for you.
In the meantime. Passionate about weddings? Staying awake at night wondering if you could be a professional wedding planner? If you'd like to get paid to plan weddings, download Debbie's free audio class, 7 Truths Every Wedding Planner Should Know, and discover 7 insider secrets about what it takes to run your own successful wedding planning business. Go to weddingsforaliving.com today and get instant access to this information-packed audio class. It's yours free at weddingsforaliving.com. Go to weddingsforaliving.com now.
Visit weddingsforaliving.com.
Okay. The question about marketing to men. Excuse me. It really depends. What are you marketing? Are you marketing wedding planning? Are you marketing? I think the question came from Larissa. Are we talking about engagement? Excuse me. Are we talking about proposals? What are we talking about? Because it really depends. That's still a very broad brush. Are we talking about men a certain age group? Are we talking about encore weddings? Are we talking about same sex weddings? What are we talking about? We've become a very segmented society. So once you start breaking down the segments, I hate to say it, you're going to know the answer to that question yourself. So it really depends on what it is and what it is. Tell me what it is you're trying to market specifically. Let me hear who asked the question, what it is they're marketing. And I'll try to answer that. Okay, some questions about wedding insurance there. Yuri asked, I'm planning a wedding with 2 other people. We are helping out for free to get more experience, full service, everything. Wow. I'm working on getting a photographer. The bride knows several people, but she keeps saying she will contact them to set up a meeting. How do we handle that? I called one of her contacts, and when I asked if we could see more pictures, she said she can show it to the client since they are friends. For future clients, do I let them set things up with their friends? Friends thing, I don't do that too much, no, is my answer to that. I'm working on getting a photographer. The bride knows several. Okay. Yeah, when people want to bring in their friends, and see, you've got a double-edged sword there. You're doing it for free, and they're bringing in friends. Did you still provide them with a contract, Yeri? Is there a contract in place? Even though you're planning it for free? No. Okay. I'm going to say this and you're not going to like it. Anything goes. If you're setting up with a wedding and you're doing for free and there's no contract, it's anything goes. Whatever you guys want to do. Because here's the thing. When you're doing reduced price or free weddings, there still needs to be an agreement. So that you remember that when it's in writing, it's clear what I'm doing, what you're doing. You still got to put it in writing. Even if you say there's no fee, because it's just a free-for-all. So you're just kind of helping, sort of like you would help a sister or a friend. So, you know, if you're doing this for experience, you have to do this in your mind like this person is a paying client. This person is your client. They just happen to be doing it at no cost. You want to go through the process. Otherwise, you're not going to learn, Yeri. You've got to go through the process of them signing a contract. Still do the policies and procedures things if you have access to that. If you're on Wedding Business Guide, I know you do. You have to go through that process. Schedule times to meet. Schedule times of, if you're doing vendor meetings. Those are the things you have to decide. Because if you want to be if you want to gain experience from that, you've got to go through those motions. You really do. A little late now, but you can still draft something. And it doesn't have to be formal. You know, I've agreed to help plan your wedding, put the date, the time, what you're going to do. And it sounds like you're doing everything. But what does full service mean? What does that mean? Get into the habit of writing that out. Because if you're setting up as a wedding business, you've got to do that anyway. The beauty of this is, Yeri, when you're doing it free, once you've gone through all the motions, when you get ready to do it for real, you're just lifting everything that you've just done. Keep track of everything. What, you know, pictures. You deal with it like the professional. So that when they say that Yeri helped plan my wedding, and yes, we had meetings, we had everything. We did it. And line item it. Let them know what this would have normally cost. If this would have normally cost $5,000, you say the cost is $5,000 on one line. And the next line you say, you know, what was I going to put? Coupon or services pro bono, whatever. And you put minus $5,000. So it washes. But you've got to show them that what they're getting. They just got $6,000 or $5,000 worth of your services for free. For free. So now it's not Yeri planned our wedding for free. Yeri did this for us. She gave us a $5,000 wedding planning package for nothing, for zero. That's it. I would still, you know, try to get some money out of them. You just don't want it to be a cost for you. If there's any cost for you, I'll make sure you pass it on to them. But I see what you're doing. Make sure you document what's going on. That's going to be your benefit. But they should still be giving you great testimonials, complete access to all the photos, You're giving them a wedding for free. And those things. The frenemy, the friend thing, sorry. I try to steer clear of that. But even then, you should be giving them, the bride or groom, a letter that says, if such and such, if Sean is taking the photos, have him or her fill out this, sign this agreement so that you know what that person is doing. Still take the professional role. They're going to roll their eyes and say you're being anal. But that's okay. That's what you do. Get some respect for what it is that you're doing. So have them give each person an independent. And that's the only way I will work with a friend. If Aunt June is cooking the cake, then I say to my clients, well, listen, so that my team knows what Aunt June is supposed to do. And so Aunt June knows what she's supposed to do. Here's a draft. If you can get her to sign that, that would be great. Because usually the Aunt June doesn't want me to deal with that. She'll deal with the couple. And just says what she's doing, when she's going to be there, when she's going to drop off the cake, if she's providing linens for the cake table, and, you know, is she providing, you know, utensils, just so Aunt June knows what she's supposed to do. Because on the wedding day, when I say to Aunt June, well, where's the tablecloth? Aunt June said, I wasn't supposed to bring no tablecloth. I'm just doing the cake. The letter, you know, you have this letter of agreement, this very informal letter. So when I'm doing the follow-up with all the vendors a few days before the wedding, a week before the wedding, I can say, hey, Aunt June, this is Debbie. I know you're creating that cake. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. So you're going to be bringing in tablecloth, right? Because that's what the, you know, in writing here, I just want to make sure we got it right. You're cooking the, bringing the cake, you're icing it, you're doing the tablecloth, but we've got to provide, you know, the cake knife and stuff. That's right, right? And Aunt June will say, yeah, that's right, or no, I'm bringing, that there has to be something in writing. Otherwise, we're all guessing. And when someone doesn't feel like doing it, they'll just draw that card and say, well, I didn't know. No one told me that. Or I thought. That's not what she said. But if it's in writing, all clear. Okay. Helga's saying, I started out 30 years ago helping family, friends, plan events. Went into business 2011, but didn't start taking it seriously until 2013. I love helping people. It's what I do and who I am first and foremost as a person. But I've learned that working with friends and some family is absolutely horrible. Yes. And it's not something I want to do. I know that now. Yeah, I think I'm a super around here. I mean, I will help and I can tell family and friends where to go, but I can tell them where to go for real. No, I can tell them where to go and what to use, but I don't do it. It's always some angst. It has to be someone very close, very close. And I'm doing it out of love. I'm just doing that, but not doing it. Get my drift? Okay. The question about the men doing the business, where's that? Oh, how would you market to men for proposal planning outside of barbershops, gyms, and jewelers? Is there anything else? I mean, you've hit some of those traditional places. Again, you know, wherever they are. And I mean, once you know what it is that you're doing, I mean, the barbershops make sense, the gyms make sense, the jewelers make sense. I think it's those are good starting points, but make sure you have something to offer them. Make sure you can explain what it is that you're doing in a way that they get it. I mean, when I get stuck, this is what I do. You know, I would gather a group of male friends from all different areas. Maybe some older men, some of my, you know, my younger nephews. Well, most of those are back home in England. But a group of those people. Sit them down, get them some food. Got to give them food and say, listen, this is what I'm doing. And break it down. This is what I'm doing. I'm setting up these proposal planning. This is what I do for business. Let me explain to you what's going on. I help other people, typically men, help them come up with a great proposal. You ever seen these on TV or on YouTube? Let me show you. Show me YouTube of this guy that does this, you know, the flash mob or whatever. This is what I'm doing. How do you think I can get the word out about this? What would you suggest? Sit down and don't say a word. Don't censor them, meaning if they say something that's utterly ridiculous, likely to happen with a group of men. But even if they say something utterly ridiculous, write it down. That is one of, that's probably the best focus group you can get. And I'm saying that because I don't have the answers. I'm not a guy. I don't know. I can only assume. So I'm going to go to the source and find out for them. How? Give me some ideas. Do I, you know, should I go to the gym? You may find out, well, when guys are in the gym, they're not even focused on that stuff. They want to get in, get their workout, and get out of there. Maybe that's not as effective. But maybe, I don't know, I stopped by at one of the, was it Fridays? One of those places. There was a whole bunch of bikes there. I was so upset, motorcycles. I couldn't get a parking spot. I said, oh, it's bike night. I said, bike night? What do you mean it's bike night? So apparently all these guys ride in together. It's mainly guys. They pull up. I don't know what the purpose of that is because they're all inside and all the bikes are in the parking lot. Is that a good place to promote that? I don't know. Maybe. Radio station. I don't know. So we can only assume. If you're trying to market to a demographic that you're not familiar with, meaning something that you're not a part of, in this instance, men, talk to a group of men. Get them together, sit down, get them some food, and just tell them, this is what I want to do. This is the purpose of this meeting. If you get four or five guys together, just talk about that for a moment. Maybe you're just sitting outside, just hanging out in the back, whatever. Maybe you make it more formal. Come meet me for drinks. We're going to talk a bit. And tell them what it is that you're doing. And say to them, what does that resonate? I mean, does that make sense to you? And if you, the way you explain it to them, they're saying, I don't understand. So what are you doing? Such and such and such and such. Don't get defensive. They're giving you valuable information. They're saying that maybe the message isn't as clear as you think it is. You're writing it from a woman's perspective. Let them tell you. You're going to get some really, really great ideas. I, you know, when I started my business, I had a group of people. You may have told me, heard me tell you this. I call them my board of directors. A friend who was getting ready to sit for the bar. George, accountant. Who was the other person? Is it Francine? She runs her own business. And we talked, and I told them what it was I wanted to do. And, you know, the guys were kind of like, weddings? People pay for that? But it was just an eye-opener because I learned so much. But you can do that. Anytime you get stuck, grab a group of people together in that, you know, not physically, unless that's your style. But get them together to brainstorm. If you aren't sure, and I do this all the time, that's what we're doing right here as a group. You can take this, do the same thing with a group of other people. Get them together. And I'm saying this not to waffle, but because I honestly don't know. I came up with the same things. The jeweler, the gym. I'm thinking a few happy hours where the guys are. But that may not be it. There may be something more to that. Maybe, you know, do I do with the fraternities? Maybe that's a good thing. Usually when these guys pledge, they're loyal. You know, SOARS, that's what we do. We're loyal to that group. Maybe that makes sense. Yeah? Does that make, or maybe there's a networking group. Maybe there's a deacons group. Maybe that's it. So get people together to get those answers for you. And let me know what you find out. It's going to be an eye-opener. I already know. You're going to get some ideas that you hadn't thought of, and it's going to be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So do that. Anytime you get stuck, just get people together. But you got to give them food. That's what I found. Get them food. I do these things a couple of Saturday evenings. I have people come out, we sit down, we talk, usually a few drinks. I set up all the drinks on a tray on the table, and we sit down there. I have appetizers. I'm not cooking a whole bunch of food, just appetizers. We sit and we talk, and it's amazing the stuff that comes up. We do that on a regular basis, just, you know, get people together. Okay. All right. 11:20. Any other questions? It's hard for me to get everybody's questions in at the time. And we didn't do the call in today. Someone asked a question about Wedding Business Guide, if we do weekly classes. No, we don't do weekly classes. I forgot who asked. We do the monthly right now. This month's class is about creating content, I think, for your blog or whatever your platform is. And then I think we've got some others coming up about, I'm thinking off the top of my head, how to train your staff. I think that's in August. July, I think, is how to create systems for your business. The systems I was just talking about, how to set that up for your business so that you know what to do next. And more importantly, I think, is that if you have to leave, that someone can kind of take over, meaning they can read through what they need to do. And then, you know, the business is kind of a seamless transition there. Okay. June 26th, I think, is our next class, which is the Thursday before July 4th. Okay. Next month, the first Saturday is the July 4th weekend. If you're not in the U.S., it's a major to-do. It's a big holiday. I'm not sure what's going on in my world, so I'm hesitant to post that date. So just so that you know, I still haven't figured out what that date is in July. Nancy's question is in blue highlight. Oh, Nancy, okay. Where's blue going up? I don't see blue highlight. Where's Nancy's question? Oh, you know, I forgot. What would you do if you have a vendor register for an event exclusive for brides and groom? I don't understand. What would you do if you have a vendor register for an event exclusive for brides and grooms? Meaning an event that you're hosting? What do you mean, what would I do? I'm lost. I don't understand the context of the question. I'm sorry. Do you allow the vendor to attend? Oh, okay. You're hosting a bridal happy hour. Okay, so let me put this head, the earbud. I can deal with this one. I'm hosting a bridal happy hour event and have a vendor who is registered for the event. Oh, I see. And the vendor has said that they want to come as an attendee. And is it a public event and is it a paying event? So you're having an event. Nancy's hosting a bridal happy hour, which reminds me, I got to mention something else here. And she's having it for brides and grooms, and the vendor wants to attend. My instinct is, yeah, let him attend. That's it. Nothing bad can come out of it. If there is, tell me what I'm missing. We can set up the way we want, structure things the way we want them to be. Doesn't always work out that way. If a vendor wants to attend and they're not really getting married, I can dissuade them. But is it public? And you said it is public. Is there a fee to attend? Does someone have to pay to attend, or is it free? If they want to pay like everybody else, yeah, sure. If they show up anyway, don't make a fuss. Just deal with it. It's a free event. It's a meetup. Oh, I just didn't want the vendors to sell to the brides and grooms. You can't help it. Out of your control. You know, this is a wonderful country we call America. That's my instinct. I can say, it really is for brides and grooms. It's not a hard sell. We don't want any of that going on. And, you can say that. You just don't know what's going to happen. It's just like when you watch, when they're doing the news, they have interviews with people and they're kind of bringing them in and they're hoping they're asking them questions. Sometimes it's not it doesn't go the way you plan. You just be gracious, but you make sure you say to them up front, this is not an event for you to sell to brides. It's not a hard sell. That's not what it's about. It's really about exchanging information. But if they attend anyway, it is what it is. Let them attend. Just keep that in the back of your mind for next time. But yeah, let them attend. Do you guys know Miss Shop Taste Dance? Clarissa held an event. Okay, Nancy, thank you. I hope that helps. I wasn't too terse there. So Clarissa wrote to me last week and said that she wanted to email me on an update. She says, as of May the 21st this year, she became the new co-host of a blog talk radio show called Days Desk. Days, D-A-Y-S. With host Dana Butler, excuse me. The show is based out of New York and has over 35,000 listeners. The topic of the May 21st show was soulmates, S-O-L-E-M-A-T-E-S, being well healed. Furthermore, the show is every other Wednesday at 8 p.m. So she posted the link here, blogtalkradio.com/daysdesk. Call in and listen to the show. And there's a phone number, the call-in number. And also she said past Wednesday, the show's topic is seating and invitations. And she says how all of this came about is Instagram. She said, the power of social media. She found Day's Desk via Instagram and also started listening to the show on a regular basis. She would also join the live chat room during the live broadcast and call in and give feedback and input. Dana Butler also featured me on the show back in January 2014 and a few other episodes I would guest co-host. Lastly, Dana has invited me to New York in the fall to film live episodes. She wants to be captured in camera. I'm excited and I cannot wait. I would never thought it would be I would be a part of co-hosting a radio show. God is good. He is. Thank you, Debbie, for all your wonderful advice, pushing us to present ourselves as experts, encouraging us to blog, start up social media pages, to network, etc. And she includes the link. I'm going to include it on the show notes for this page. Let's see. She also said that she just wrapped up her second event in June this past Sunday. It was a viewing premiere party in honor of the TV show on Bravo. So Candy's Weddings, who's one of the Atlanta housewives. She said, we all watched the show. It was fun. I booked a private room, 25 guests capacity, had a live vocalist, a guitar musician perform in spoken word, played wedding trivia in the commercial breaks, gave out prizes donated by vendors, and gave out swag bags. I had vendors mail in their marketing material samples. I made the swag bags interactive, which meant all the guests and vendors attending had to pull out the marketing materials and remember certain things on each card. For example, vendor email address, website. It was awesome. Vendors participated from Georgia and out of state via Twitter and Instagram. Vendors participated from Georgia and out of state via Twitter, and Instagram was a great help of advertising. She only advertised via social media and online. I sold tickets via Eventbrite, early bird, general admission, and VIP tickets. My photographer, videographer was there, and I had fun and playful vintage-style photo booth. She provided the vintage props that she purchased. Big thanks to Swan and Nancy for coming to assist me with setting up the event. Nancy assisted me the entire night and had a live Twitter party from the event. Thank you. Awesome. That's fantastic. You know, I get questions a lot about advertising and costs and so forth. It's amazing to me what you can do when you put your mind to it. And one of the beautiful things of our our century is that the barrier of entry gets lower and lower and lower. You have to be bold enough to step out and say, I'm doing this. You can sit there and plan and type and write, and it's never going to be perfect. When you start one thing, it's sort of like a snowball. Now, the first event may not be the greatest event. It might be fantastic, but if not, you lick your wounds, you look at what went wrong and how you can improve, and you move forward. You've got to keep building. So you remember Clarissa did the Shop Taste Dance a few months ago. So she held her second event, and she's also since then, well, actually in between then, has been a co-host on Blog Talk Radio. These are all things that are very easy to get started. Confetti Talk Show got its start on Blog Talk Radio. And you may, I don't know if there were folks here who remember that. Call in and you could listen to the show. You could actually call in, press the number one, and talk to the host. It got me going. I remember the first episode. So I listened to it the other day and I cringed. But the more I did, the better it became. And it's evolved into this, which still isn't quite where I want it to be. I've since figured out, you know, other ways to get things done. You just got to start. You can't, if you're looking at something and saying, well, I want it to be exactly like how she's doing it or like he's doing it. No, you figure out how you can get the same thing going in your own world, in your own way. Clarissa is making a mark for herself in her area. She's getting help from others. I don't know if she knew Nancy before or if she met Nancy through Confetti or Weddings for a Living. That's not so important. The thing is, they group together, put their heads together, and they're doing it. And I hope that you can learn from that. And if you're on the fence or you're sitting here today or you're listening to this and you're heartbroken, I know that may sound dramatic, but I've been in that place where I sat down. I read a diary entry that I wrote from 2004. My diary entries are usually about business. And I sat down the other day and I was very close to tears because I realized some of the things I had dreamed about, I wasn't there. Sometimes you just have to listen and you hear something that someone is saying and it's a click for you. And you're saying, crap, I can do that, or I'm going to give it a go. Let me sign up for Blog Talk Radio. So you get it going, and the more you do, the more you meet people. Somebody gives you an idea, and you say, oh, okay, let me try this. Blog Talk Radio is all audio. when I started Blog Talk Radio, then I realized, you know, I wanted to do the live stream because I read somewhere that, you know, people want to connect with you. I said, they're connecting with my voice. Let me do my face. And I, you know, put the webcam up there. And it's really, you're not gaining anything more, but you're just making that connection so that when you do meet me, it's not going to be a strange encounter. It's going to be, oh, Debbie, or oh, Nancy, oh, Clarissa, oh, you know, you, that's how I want it to be with you and your clients and you and your vendors. So get out there and think about what it is you want to do, where you want to position yourself, how you want to do this. Is it part-time? Is it full-time? Is it to fill in some gaps? And then make a move. I said this before to Wedding Business Guy. You got to get out of the comfort zone. Do something that's unfamiliar to you. I'm doing some things that are very unfamiliar to me, and I'm kind of going back to square one and doing some in some other areas that I know not a lot about. But it wasn't all. It was that way too for me for weddings, and I'm venturing in some other areas too. Whatever your passion is, take it. You know, do something a little. Do a little bit of something on a regular basis, as opposed to waiting to do something major. Events are a big deal. Not always easy to do, but as Clarissa said, social media has been huge in helping her. That's how she found out about Dazed Desks and so forth. Now, you'll notice that Dazed Desk, she's saying, has 35,000 listeners. The thing is, with Blog Talk Radio and some of the authentic podcasts and talk shows will challenge that because of the way Blog Talk Radio measures their listeners. It doesn't matter. When you say that, when you drop those numbers to someone who is new to you, you get their attention. And that's why platforms like Blog Talk Radio are a good starting point. Now, as you move forward, you may decide that that's not where you want to stick because there are some, you know, ownership issues when it comes to content. But I know the folks, there are two people, I can't remember their names now, at Blog Talk Radio who were very instrumental in helping me get going and things that I can do. It's a really, really good starting point. It doesn't have to be that way forever. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying it's just a good way to get going because you don't want to have to worry about equipment and things like that and, you know, mixes and stuff, which is what I have here. At the beginning, you don't need to worry about that. Get into the habit of becoming comfortable with your topics, your conversation, you know, how you're going to address people, what you're going to say when you're stumped, what works, what people want to hear, what they don't want to hear, and then build from there. And as you become more comfortable with the process of just speaking and communicating, then all the technology stuff, you can start tweaking and upgrading. But don't worry about all that stuff up front. You want to get the easiest way to get started and get going and create content. And Blog Talk Radio will get the eyes on you. Blog Talk Radio will get people to find you if you, you know, set up your page and so forth, your radio station and so forth. People can just listen on the phone. But there are different ways to do this. Podcasting may not be it for you. You may be more of a writer. You may be more of the person that does the live thing. You notice Clarissa's doing a bit of both. It's good. When people hear about you in one avenue and then they see you again someplace else, they're like, oh, wait a minute. I've listened to her shows. When I went down to the local iWed Global training, I think I told you this, and a couple of people said, oh, I know who you are, Debbie. I listen to your shows. And I thought, oh, somebody knows what it is that I'm doing. That's how you've got to do it. You've got to spread yourself. Try one thing. Okay. It's sort of like the spinning plates, plate spinning on that one. Okay. Let me try this now. Don't overwhelm yourself with stuff up front, but just get one thing going. And as you build more confidence and people begin to know who you are, you'll get invitations. People will say, hey, I listened to this or I read this. Would you mind coming on to talk on the show? Or would you mind doing this? Can I get your help with presenting events? Clarissa's done two events so far. Do you think Clarissa has the inside track as to what's working and what doesn't, what isn't? I'm sure she does. At some point, hint, hint, by the end of the year, Clarissa could probably come up with a product of how to host your own wedding events if you're a wedding planner and charge for that. I have no doubt in my mind she can do that. That's another stream of income while she's planning weddings. Do you see how all that stuff just snowballs? So you just get out there and once you get the medium going, then you can start thinking if you have other passions. I'm very passionate about reggae music, not just reggae music, but the industry of reggae music. And the same way I really enjoy working with other businesses, how businesses work, how they, you know, how can they profit, how they can use the internet and websites and stuff to develop their business and somehow combining those two. So a lot of times when you hear me say working events, sometimes they're not weddings. Sometimes they're concerts. Sometimes they're festivals. Sometimes they're symposiums. And it's just people say, okay, someone told me that you do the wedding thing, but we don't really do the wedding thing. Could you help us with that? So it kind of lets me know that maybe I can spread out a little further. Maybe, maybe not. Just to give you some ideas of how you can take what you're doing and go to another level with it. Yeah. So these are just ideas and things to get you going. It's 11:36. Time really flies when you're having fun, right? So I'm going to wrap it up here because we've been going an hour and a half and it's going to be awful to listen to unless you've got an hour and a half to spare. I've got to come up with the dates for the July live event. And please, if you have questions, comments, suggestions, you know, give me a call. The 24/7 talkback line is 202-681-2126. 202-681-2126. Leave your message and I'll play that back and try to answer it. Tracy, if you're still here, I thought I glimpsed something from you. Tracy's the person who I played the message back for earlier. Oh, Tracy, okay. Thanks for playing my question. That was helpful. I am curious about limiting the services inclusions if they got started and you pick up in the middle. What if they want to change what they have already done, like venue or change the caterer? Then do you revisit the contract to add on venue or caterer assistance? I'm guessing that's a yes, but just curious because I've been in a position where clients fired a vendor and found self in the middle of finding a new one for them. With them. Yeah, excuse me. The more precise you are and detailed in your contracts, Tracy, it's helpful because then you can go in and say, but you got to say up front, this is what I'm going to do for you here. And as I said, when I do my contracts, I definitely include the number of vendor visits and the number of client consultations. Those are important because that's FaceTime. So if it's 4 vendor visits and 2 client consultations, and they usually assign 2 hours to them each, at least for the client consultations, that's what they get. If they've got 6 vendors to get and they've only paid me for 4 vendor consultations, 4 vendor visits, they got to pick which 4 they want me to go on. 4 out of the 6 I'll go on. The other 2, I'll kind of school you, I'll prep you, and you're going to go on your own. If that's what it comes down to. That's how I list it. And, you know, sometimes a vendor visit takes longer than I estimated. That's okay. That's fine. I'm giving 4 vendor visits, 2 client consultations. Now, if we only do 3 vendor visits, and there's a vendor visit left over, maybe we can blend that into a client consultation. You can fool around with it. But you've got to, if you say up front, this is what you're getting. If we go over, if you need me to do more than what I've written down right here, if you need me to do more than what's on this contract, we've got to revisit it and I'll draft up another contract. Or you can pay me by the hour. But decide that up front. I hope that helps. Okay, I think that's it. I can see you guys are talking. So it's 11:41. I'm going to end it. I'm going to leave the chat room open for about another 5 minutes after the show, and then it will shut down. So get all your, you know, your backs and forths, share your URLs and so forth. But I'm going to put this to rest, put this to bed, right? Isn't that how they say it? I love American sayings. I act like I'm not an American. I have my citizenship. Stop this foolishness, Debbie. You are an American. With 2 passports. But as always, it's been a pleasure having you here. You know, the key thing is just to keep going, man. Just keep going. Do a little bit at a time. If things don't work out the way you hoped,